Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back in to another week of The Nate Darling Show. Last week, no new shows. As my wife was sick.
Man.
Didn't want to get everybody sick.
No, we didn't want to get sick.
Yeah. So, and turned out she had strep, so it's best that that you didn't come over.
It was for something. It was actually for, you know.
Yeah, the last time I had that, I almost died.
Yeah, we don't want that.
That's horrible.
We don't want that at all. Coming up on the show today, we got a lot to get to. Some carryover from last week. But we've also got some new stuff, including the Florida governor's debate, the latest on the MAGA bomber, Shepard Smith, and why it's a bad week to be a coach in the city of Cleveland.
I heard it rocks there.
It does not. It does not. The presidency of the United States of America lied to you. It does not rock in Cleveland. Before we get to all of that, hey, how have you guys been? Jason, what you been up to?
Being a dad.
All right. Kareem, what have you been up to?
I just, like, since the last 2 weeks, I think Apple Hill family stuff, birthday, like, just busy, like, as far as that's concerned.
Did he say anything in there? Apple Hill family stuff, just busy. Is exactly the quote that I heard.
Yeah, you might as well have moved on.
I'm telling you, man, being a father and a husband is busy.
Boring work. Radio. It's really boring radio.
I could tell you about some crazy shit that happened.
Now, if you stepped on a rake, put a hole in your foot, and hit yourself in the nuts with a handle, now I'm interested.
Oh, man.
If you rupture a testicle in some yard accident, I'm interested in that.
Okay, well, none of that happened. I live a boring, sad life now. Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Well, you know, any sad is still funny. Sometimes.
That is true.
Doesn't have to be exciting to be funny.
I got some sad, funny shit for you.
Yeah. So you had a good week.
Yeah, it was great. Everything's been going well.
Perfect. Kareem, what you been up to?
We did our, and I think it's the fifth one, Rock the School Bells Saturday.
I saw that on social media.
Nonprofit I help out. We did,
Can I give you a pro tip?
Sure.
Cause you start live videos a lot, and every now and then I'll check them out, but you never type in a description. So there's a video and there's some chick doing something, and I have no idea what it is, where it comes from, where you are, there's zero context.
Yeah, I didn't realize that she was going to be like the speaker.
Sure.
And by the time they put her name up there, she had started speaking, and I didn't want to miss out on too much of the.
Gotcha.
So that's why.
Gotcha. Because that's really frustrating when I'm like, all right, what is the, I don't know. Now I'm lost.
Yeah. So they put it. So she started, and then they put her. All of her social media stuff up, and then by the time she got on stage, they took it down, and then it didn't give me a chance to get it before we got started.
Sure.
Man, it sucks.
Yeah. So, I did that. I did another set of photos and, interviews for the project.
Right.
The Invisible Man project, Black Fathers. And then I've had a couple of deaths.
Oh.
So my one of my friends from high school passed last Wednesday, and he had just buried his mother that Saturday. And he was probably the nicest guy. He's one of those people that you don't appreciate until you're an adult.
Right.
Because he's just a genuinely nice person, and so, you know, as a kid, you're always asshole to this person.
Right.
You're nice to him, but you're still, like, his niceness is annoying.
Because he's not busting balls with all the other dudes.
Right.
And he's so, just being nice.
Yeah. And so he passed, and then my Sacramento mom, one of her friend's husband died. So he was kind of like an uncle. And I found out about both of those like in a 10-minute time period.
Oh.
So his wife had called me to tell me in the morning, and then I called her back, and I knew something was wrong from the message. But then I called her back in my car on my way back to the office.
Right.
And so she tells me, and then, you know, I get back to the office and I take out my phone and look on Facebook, and there was like a rest in peace to Ronnie. And I was like, what the fuck?
Damn it, Facebook. Yeah. That is the worst way to find out about stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it is, but then for the fact that, you know, I'm in California and all of them are back
east. Sure, sure.
So it's kind of like the worst and the best. It's like the worst way to know, but it's usually like the fastest way for you to know.
Absolutely. Unless somebody calls you and says, hey, this happened. And a lot of times I'll get a message. Like I'll get a Facebook message on something.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where we had all been giving him condolences and whatnot for his mother passing, and, you know, trying to make sure we send him messages or comments to cheer him up.
Right.
And then for somebody to post that, we're like, this is a sick fucking joke.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then they posted like an article that he had been in an accident. So, so that happened. And then, so today I've been at a funeral for Mr. Ennis. Which was the fastest black funeral I've ever been to. But he's from Panama, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Gotcha.
But it was like the fastest black funeral I've been to. But it turned out not to be as fast as I thought, because we left the funeral and then we went to do the repast at the VFW, and it was like going through a whole another ceremony. So it kind of made it a real black funeral.
False sense of security there for a moment.
Yes.
Like, oh, that was quick. Ah, damn it.
But I will say this, and this is my sad, funny thing from today. If I die and you two come to my funeral, uh-huh, and somebody sings Amazing Grace at my funeral, they better not half-ass it.
Yeah, they need to go all in.
They need to go all in.
Gotcha.
If you sing Amazing Grace at my funeral, you better sing it like you've been through some shit. Like, you better sing Amazing Grace like you suck dick for crack for dick. I mean, suck dick for crack. With a howitzer stuck up your ass while you were doing it. Like, I want you to sing it like you mean that shit. Like you were saved from a tiger's cage with a tiger about to bite you in the ass. I want you to sing it like that. Like you fucking mean it.
With your heart.
I want you to sing it from your nuts.
Or your vagina. Let's be
or your vagina. From your soul.
Yeah.
From like the depth of your soul.
All right, all right.
I want you to sing it like you're Corey Glover from Living Color on stage.
Okay, all right.
I want you to sing it like that.
Yeah, right. I get it.
Yes.
What do you want us to do if that's not the case?
I want you to throw something and hit him in the throat.
Okay. I'm down.
Done. Done.
You're like, that's for you, boy.
And then, I'm going to do that on my way out.
Yes.
And right in the back door.
I'll have this prepared and taped to me. Like it'll be, I'll just press play.
Yes. Look, play the clip. Play the clip for the show.
Right?
This is what he asked
for.
That's what he wanted.
Yes.
You didn't know Kareem, I guess, did you?
Yes, because they sang it today, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, no, this is not, no. Yes, so yes. So if you're going to go down that road with me, you better sing that shit for real.
Noted.
Oh, man.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Fuck. See, I'm glad I didn't have anything, right? I mean, that's like...
It's tough to beat that. Yeah. Yeah.
Just saving everybody some time.
I mean, I've got a sad story that doesn't involve me that I'm not going to share.
Oh.
Cause it's kind of a private thing. It would be kind of weird if I shared it, but it was one of those things where someone sends you a text and, you know, something bad has happened, but you never ask, because doing that in a text is kind of weird and uncomfortable, but everybody has always got the question like, oh, was it this? And I'm like, I don't know. If I had to bet, I would bet yes, but I certainly wasn't going to ask.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those things where it's like, that's really not what you want to do with that. But I do have happy news. Leslie and I spent Saturday brewing our second anniversary ale at Yolo Brewing Company here in West Sacramento.
Oh, I saw that. Can't wait for some of those.
And we will be bottling said beer the day before our anniversary. So that Saturday right after Thanksgiving, you gentlemen are invited to pop over if you want to involve yourselves in the bottling process. There will be custom labels, and if you involve yourself in the bottling process, you will leave with fresh bottles of beer.
Oh, okay. Look at that. Fresh bottles.
Freshly bottled beer.
Look at that.
So, yeah, I think we're giving some as Christmas gifts, too.
Oh.
But, because I think it's like 5 to 6 cases of bomber bottles is what you end up with.
Oh, shit. Bomber bottles.
Because we did the wedding beer, and we had a lot of cases of that, but it was 12-ounce bottles.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are the wedding favors, and we were afraid we would run out. So, plus I wanted to have some left over for me, because I'm selfish like that.
Of course, of course.
so that was a lot of fun. They've made some improvements. They've sort of cordoned off, the part of the brewery where you do the brewing.
Oh.
Whereas before it was really sort of all in one big room. And now they've had some stuff built up. So it's like if you went to Yolo before, it was like, oh, there's a table with some barley on it.
Yeah.
And that was part of the thing. You'd be like there. And so now they've divvied it up a little bit. So the brewing process is physically separated from the rest of the tap room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you a couple reasons why that is, and it all involves insurance.
And boiling water.
Yeah. No, but I mean, primarily just because, work comp, is like, if you're in the same room where warehouse activities are happening and you might happen to do some warehouse activities, you'll have to have that class code as opposed to a different class code for the rest of the time. Like, there's just certain class codes that are like that.
It's really just a 4-foot fence.
No, that's all they need to have. It's separated area.
Separate but equal. That's how it is. So,
Plessy v. Ferguson.
Yeah, oh, and there was a group of guys there at the same time, and they were brewing, and I didn't hear this. Leslie shared this with me. They were doing something that they were calling I Murdered My Ex-Wife Ale.
Alrighty.
And I said, well, I appreciate the sentiment of that. Saying that out loud is probably not the best idea.
No.
Because she turns up dead, and we're coming looking for you.
Unless they're making it for somebody as a prank.
it was a group of guys, so yeah. they were blowing off steam.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of dumb guys.
Stupid guys.
Well, it's pretty much every group of guys is dumb guys.
That's the way we always end up being.
kind of.
Hold my beer, bro.
All right. Well, you might have heard there is a horde of migrants on the way.
Oh, my gosh.
Dun, 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 dun.
And on Fox News, there is one voice that is the voice of reason when it comes to most everything, but in this case, the horde of migrants on their way.
Tomorrow, the migrants, according to Fox News reporting, are more than 2 months away, if any of them actually come here. But tomorrow is 1 week before the midterm election, which is what all of this is about. There is no invasion. No one's coming to get you. There's nothing at all to worry about. When they did this to us, got us all riled up in April, remember? The result was 14 arrests. We're America. We can handle it. But, like I said, a week to the election, and Jennifer Griffin's on it from the Pentagon.
So Shep Smith setting the record straight. I guarantee that evening Sean Hannity went on the air for an hour and stoked the fears.
Oh, yeah. I love Shep.
The one person they can point, like, no, listen, we have other viewpoints that are valid.
Mm.
They had to have that guy, right? They had to have one guy that...
Well, they don't have to, but he's the only one there with enough seniority and journalistic credibility to go, hold on a second, this is all ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's an actual news guy.
Yeah. So there is a bit of hope in there. So the past week or two have been really weird. We had... Gently with that cup, Jason.
Yes. Yeah,
we had a shooting at a grocery store in Kentucky.
That was almost at a church.
That was almost at a church by a dude who wouldn't shoot other white people. So good times in America. Then we had the so-called MAGA bomber, who we'll get into here in a second. And then over the weekend, there was a mass murder at a synagogue in Pittsburgh. That was followed by the president talking about, you know, well, if they would have had more security, then maybe they would have had a better result. Like, you're a dick. Literally blaming these victims for getting shot by a dude with an AR-15. Because if they would have had some security, maybe they would have come out better. He shot four cops as well. They all had guns, by the way, the cops.
Yeah. And bulletproof vests. So.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So there was that. To add to the fun, Mike Pence, our vice president, showed up with a rabbi who believes in Jesus.
A rabbi who wasn't a rabbi.
Right.
A preacher who claims to be a rabbi.
Correct. So.
Who spent the first part of his speech talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So, hate crime. Now let's get to the MAGA bomber. And what do we know about him? Well, he's 56. His name's Cesar Sayoc. And there was a lot of information floating around about him and his past. Now, the facts range from ironic to disturbing. And Paste magazine put together 10 things that you need to know about the suspected MAGA bomber. Number one, he's a Republican. So all of these theories that were floated out there by Candace What's-Her-Nuts and Geraldo Rivera and everybody else that, oh, it's a Democrat and Bill Clinton sent it to himself. No. Registered Republican, registered in March 2016. Why? Because he's a huge Trump supporter. He registered as a Republican so he could vote for Donald Trump. He picked targets that basically Donald Trump has attacked. Searches of his social media reveal video of him at Trump rallies. Michael Moore has some video of him from his what he shot for his new film Fahrenheit 11/9. That he has put out. Now, there's no indication in those videos of someone capable of sending bomb threats, but in that case, it's not a stretch to call him an extremist. He plastered his opinions all over his van. His van looks like an ice cream truck of Trump love and hating of Democrats. I don't know if you've seen this. He somehow managed to make a white panel van creepier by covering all of the windows in stickers.
That were like anti-CNN, like pro-Trump. I mean, it was just ridiculous the level of like hatred that he had. But more than anything, like the fact of like how they drove it away. Like, how they took it away is the biggest piece of shit ever. Like, because they wanted to shield it from being seen. Like, there's already photos of it. Like, but they cover it with a blue tarp. Mm-hmm. Like, why? What was the reason for the blue tarp cover on it? There was no reason for it. Except to try to not show the fact the guy was a Republican. Like, you know, I mean, like, really, that's the only reason that...
Maybe they didn't want the sticker of the crosshair superimposed over Hillary's face to fade in the sun.
Yeah. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, there was, like, no reason for it. Like, as I was watching it, I was like, they're trying to cover up. I was like, they're covering up, like, all the decals on the side of the van. I said exactly what it was because I was like, that's the only reason they would do it. And it comes, like, it was like, it is so ridiculous.
By the way, one of his bombs was intercepted at the post office less than a mile from where I work. It was intended for Kamala Harris in her Sacramento office. Number four, he's a convicted felon with a long history. Since 1991, he's been convicted of felonies, charged with domestic violence against his mother, tampering with evidence, submitting fraudulent tax returns, possession of a fake ID, and more. His most recent arrest in 2014 was a misdemeanor. It's notable in light of his arrest, though. Let's see, what was that here? Yeah. Oh, yeah, this isn't his first bomb threat either. He made a bomb threat in Dade County, Florida. Punishment was a single year of probation for that one. His social media is full of conspiracies and vague threats. I'm sure you know friends who have those. His most recent retweet is an image that lines up with the far-right conspiracy theories of his first target, George Soros. The Daily Beast even reports that he tweeted, "You will vanish at Soros." He tweeted out images aimed at Debbie Wasserman Schultz, attempting to drag her into conspiracy theories. By the way, she is his representative, and he was likely upset with her because she was his county rep, which explains the images he tweeted. Coincidentally, though, she was also listed as the sender in all the mail bombs, as well as a recipient. And he misspelled her name. His DNA and phone records were key. It's unclear exactly how the FBI was able to apprehend him at this point. DNA and phone records seem to be a major part of the arrest. Metro reports he was caught making threats to judges, and he is in FBI custody now, being questioned in Miami, and his van has been taken in by police, as Jason said. Oh, and he loved Papa John.
Of course he did.
That should have been that should have been your first clue right there that he wasn't right in the head.
Oh, man.
Oh, and Twitter, there was a there was a black woman who he had threatened on Twitter who reported him, and Twitter ignored her or said, "Oh, there's not enough to."
Sure.
Yeah, that was a week before, and it turned out to be.
Thankfully, at this point, no one has been hurt by any of these bombs, but they were live bombs. They did have explosives in them. There would have been, had they gone off, there would have been shrapnel, and people would have been hurt or killed.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still seeing these theories that, oh, it's the media sending them to themselves, and it's just to gain sympathy just before the election. Uh-huh. All right.
I just don't understand, like, how people can think that that's the, like, how, like, you already don't believe and trust the government in the first place. How do you think that they're able to hide this level of, like, shit, like, from everybody?
Look, George Soros paid everybody off to send these bombs with Debbie Wasserman Schultz's name misspelled.
Well, that'll throw him off.
Throw him off.
Well, you know, along with all those people he's paying in the caravan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, man.
The caravan that might be here in 2 months, if they make it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to something a little bit more, I guess, positive, the Florida governor's race. They actually had a debate, and it was on TV, unlike here in California, where we got one debate that was on Columbus Day in the morning on public radio in San Francisco, and no cameras were allowed. Anyway, I doubt our debate would have gone this well, where Andrew Gillum, the Democrat, who is African-American, sort of drives the hammer home on his opponent.
Because my mother and father would have to get up so early in the morning to go to work, they would load us all into a car, drive us over to my grandmother's house where she would have a ritual and do two things before she'd let us cross the threshold of the door. She'd take her bottle of olive oil, also known as blessing oil, and build a cross on my forehead as a way to send us out into the day with a blessing and a covering. And then she would have this mantra where she'd say, go to school, mind your teachers, get your lesson, and one day bring that education home. She'd say, bring it home for your mama, for your daddy, who get out there and work on somebody else's job. Bring it home for your little brother and your little sister. What my grandmother was communicating to me was that it wasn't just about me. It's about all of us. And in Trump's America, we've been led to believe that we've got to step on our neighbor's shoulder and their face and their backs in order to get ahead. Well, I reject that. And we have an opportunity on November 6th as a collective, as a state, to say we deserve better. We want better. We want better schools, access to health care, a clean economy, a restorative justice system that works where hand in glove, the community and law enforcement work together for all of our benefit. I'm asking you all for the only thing in life that my mother ever told me to ask for, and that's a chance. I want to be your governor. Let's bring it home.
Goddamn radical.
Oh, so many things that I learned when I was a child.
And there are a lot of great moments in this debate.
blessed oil. We still do that now.
There you go. That was why I wanted to go with the positive part of that, not the part where he just basically buries his opponent by saying, "Now I'm not calling him a racist. I'm just saying racist thinks he's one of them."
That's like the best part of the thing, man.
That was amazing. You'll have to look that up for yourself. I want something positive.
And a hit dog will holler. I was like, oh my God, I haven't heard that since childhood. I got like a mini Woody.
So does he have a chance? Does he have a chance to?
Yeah.
Oh, he's up by like 6 to 10 points, depending on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, you remembered, Mr. I'm going to throw toilet paper or paper towels at you.
Yeah, you're right.
Those people are now in Florida that he threw paper towels at.
It's true, and they are American citizens. They vote. Yeah. The people from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And also, there's probably a lot of Latinx people that are also already there that maybe were supporters last time around because they're just Republicans.
Right.
And now they're like, no, this dude is not for real. He's not for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
Good. Well, good. All right. That is positive. We just have to go with like Ohio news instead of Florida news, then if it becomes a better place.
Oh, no. There's plenty of Florida stuff later on. Meanwhile, I sent you guys this video, and Jason said this lady is his new hero. Kareem, let's judge.
25, residential. Got it? Hey, fuck you, both of you. 25. Residential. Fuck you both.
Okay. She's walking her dog on the sidewalk. There's a car that's clearly stopped and recording her. So, I don't know what happened before this, but she is a one-woman neighborhood watch.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
You need
You're
to
in
chill
a goddamn
out.
Residential neighborhood. 25. Up the hill. See that? 25. Don't you understand?
Chill out, okay?
Chill out yourself, assholes. Yeah. Figure it out. 25. I hope you get a goddamn fucking citation for $1 million, you both pieces of shit.
You live in a happy life.
Ah, fuck off. Fuck both of you.
By the way, let me point out also, this is a neighborhood of families, and you're yelling curse words as loud as you can on the street. Just there's that.
I think they might almost hit her.
Get a speeding ticket, fuckheads.
Just go. She lives an unhappy
fuck
life.
Fuck off, both of you! Fuck you! Got it? Go. Hey, babes, fuck you! Got it? Fuck you!
Touch her.
Fuck you!
You do not
fuck
touch
you.
Her.
Now she's right up in their window of their car. Like, right up in the window of their car.
Right up there.
Yep.
I'm on the outside, babes! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you!
Okay, go.
Okay! They are doing 40 miles an hour! I'm crossing the street by my goddamn dog! These little pieces of shit!
Just go.
Okay, yeah, just go. Just go.
Yeah.
Fuck you!
All right, see you guys.
Fuck you! All I'm asking is...
So, Kareem, is this woman a hero?
She's a little bit. She took a little too far.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, yeah, she's a little bit. Cause like I said, I figured they almost hit her. You know, the little bitches be driving through. Because I have to deal with this on my street. And we have a bunch of kids on my street, so I'm not even coming from the Jason angle.
What's my angle?
Vagina dad.
No. You know what my fucking angle is?
But, no. Wait. No, because we get assholes who, the little punk ass youngsters with their hot rods, they'll come through and they'll do like donuts on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like I'm living a fucking residential neighborhood. I live in the suburbs. or like somebody, and there's like a gated community across the street from us. Somebody actually hit the barrier to go into there one night. So I'm with her. So fuck you, you little little punk ass bitches.
So I live at a four-way stop, right. All right, by a corner store, all right? So I know, living where I live and like in so close to the city, like I understand that there's going to be people that are going to be doing donuts sometimes in the intersection right there, because that's it. And I don't want that to happen, but that's just part of life living there, right? What I don't like and what I fucking hate are the fucking assholes that don't stop at the stop sign, or like go up to the stop sign, like roll through it like at 10 miles an hour and don't really stop, that work at the fucking hospital and don't give a fuck that it's a residential neighborhood and that there's people that live there and like blow through the stop sign like it's not even there without even really stopping. And then they go like 35, 40 miles an hour on a street that's supposed to be 25 miles an hour. Like, and they're going to work. And they're like two blocks from work. They're two blocks from work taking a side street. They're fucking douchebags. Every single fucking one of them. They're fucking, you know what they also do? They park right in front of my fucking house because it's a block away from where the fucking parking starts. So all those fucking people, even though they save lives and God bless them. Fuck them, man. Don't drive like it's like, they don't drive with any care for being somebody else's neighborhood, I guess. And that's why she's my hero, is because I would like to say that to every single person that does that. I usually just say, thank you, thanks for stopping. And I just wave at him and thank him for stopping. And like the guy that's driving a $110,000 Porsche Cayenne that doesn't stop through the fucking stop sign because he doesn't think the rules apply to him because he's a fucking doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Just is like, why is he waving at me? Because you're a fucking asshole.
That's okay. He'll fix you later. He's a doctor.
Fuck him, man. That's why she's my hero. That's to give you context.
Sure.
So that's where I'm coming
from.
Oh,
no, I get it.
Fucking assholes.
I think she needs to dial it back a little
bit. She does.
And I think the girl in the car is right. She does live an unhappy life.
Yeah.
If your switch gets flipped that hard, that easily, you lead an unhappy life. Like, the only one that listens to her is her dog, because it didn't have any choice.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was one of those scenes, though, where she was in the crosswalk and her dog was in front of her and she had to, like, yank the dog by the neck out of the way, or the car would have ran over it, and they were going really fast up the hill. And then, like, they came back to see if she's all right, and she's like, fuck you, you assholes, you almost, you know.
Well, if they went back to see if she was all right, then that's really a point in their favor and not hers.
No, absolutely.
My favorite was in the middle when she yells, clearly a neighbor has come out, and she starts yelling at what they did. Like, they went over now 40 miles an hour in a van. And the neighbors are like,
Neighbors like, I do not want to be on YouTube tomorrow.
Neighbors like, neighbors like, oh, Helen's just lost her shit again.
Yeah.
Someone was doing 30 in the 25 and she's lost her shit. That's what's happened. All right. Last week, former NFL player Ray Carruth, Sacramento kid, murderer, released from prison after spending nearly two decades behind bars on charges stemming from the murder of his pregnant girlfriend.
What?
Mm-hmm. It was in the news, Jason. He's a former wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, sentenced to 18 to 24 years in 2001 after a jury found him guilty of conspiring to murder Cherica Adams. He said, I'm excited about just being out of here. I'm nervous just about how I'll be received by the public. I'm guessing the public not too thrilled with it. He said, I still have work to do. I still have to live. I have to exist out there. And it just seems like there is so much hate and negativity toward me. I'm actually somewhat frightened. Well, you did hire somebody to murder your pregnant girlfriend and unborn child.
Yeah.
By blocking them in and then having the other car pull up beside and pump her full of bullets. I cannot imagine why there'd be a negative attitude toward you.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
My father actually knew him.
Ray Carruth?
Yeah. My father actually was a prison guard at Central Prison in Raleigh.
Okay.
So he was, he actually knew Ray and the killer.
Mm-hmm.
My father never thought, didn't think he did it. And actually, there's a podcast out about him. And the thing that he takes ownership of is the fact that he left and he said he was a coward because he left and left her. but the guys that killed her were mad at him because they wanted him to fund the drug deal, and he reneged on doing that. And that's what he, that's the responsibility that he takes for what happened. And one of the things that happens in when you are in situations like that is when you're in the club like that with in those areas, there are two kinds of people with money. So there are athletes and entertainers,
mm-hmm.
and then there are people.
People who do things that aren't above board.
That do things that aren't above board. And if you've paid attention over the years, you've heard a lot of athletes or several, quite a few athletes get busted for drugs.
Sure.
Not for doing drugs, but for trying to take their money. This has been a way for them to... It's supposed to be an easy...
To enhance their portfolio?
It's supposed to be an easy way to enhance their portfolio.
Uh-huh.
Because there have been everybody from Bam Morris to Leon Lett to... actually, they say Zach Randolph was the biggest drug dealer in Memphis.
Who was the one who got caught with 200 pounds of marijuana in his car? Was that Nate Newton?
Nate Newton.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I got that right.
The guy from... there's a guy that's on the Green Bay Packers right now who got busted that way. In the last 2 years. So that's the story that, I mean, so that's.
Sure.
So it doesn't make what he said that far fetched, but like I said, that's the story. Like I said, and then from my father having my father dealt with the worst of the worst in the prison.
Sure.
To the point where he was the person that the people at the prison call when they had somebody they couldn't control.
Okay.
Because he could talk them out of the cell or talk them down. So the guy who actually pulled the trigger, that guy's a certifiable lunatic.
Sure.
He's Charles Manson
mm-hmm.
on steroids. So, you know, Charles just talked people into killing people. This dude actually,
killed people.
He set somebody on fire in prison. Since he's been in prison for this.
Oh, speaking of which, Whitey Bulger killed in prison today.
I didn't know he was killed. I know he died, but I just didn't know he was killed.
Killed in prison.
Oh, wow.
He got transferred to a new prison not long ago, and now he dead.
Oh, wow. It's about time.
Caught up with him.
I was a fan of Whitey's, too. That's the story that I got from that.
anyway, his son survived that.
Yeah.
He has a ton of disabilities, and basically what his girlfriend's mother has said is that she's forgiven him. She's moved on with her life, but she said there's no way she's going to let her grandson be taken care of by someone that is a complete stranger to him.
Yeah.
So I can completely see where she's coming from.
Yeah. You should listen to the podcast. It's called Carruth. It's by a guy from the Charlotte Observer.
Mm-hmm. We should do a podcast about all the people who we think are innocent.
There's a bunch of.
I know. There's that's
the point.
That's the podcast. And here's the thing. Everybody in prison's innocent.
Yeah.
That's the downside of it. You know who else is it? Oh, God damn it. I lost it. Hold on a second. While we're in North Carolina talking about stuff, we had another white lady.
Oh, yeah.
We've got another white lady, everybody. She encountered some, African American women in her neighborhood. They were waiting for AAA to come and jumpstart the car.
Yes.
And she apparently didn't think that they belonged in the neighborhood. I'm just waiting for the ad for Jason's old employer to finish here.
USAA?
Yes. Yep. Yup. Oh, and then, man. And then the thing will come. So, because it's important that you hear, because she's really, really.
A viral video shows her cursing and harassing two people.
This is Myers Park. This is.
This is buffering.
That's been viewed more than a million times. The woman in the video is accused of...
The female African-American anchor really looks like she wants to strangle somebody. Because it's her and her co-anchor standing in front of a big monitor as they're running through this. And I guarantee you, every time she hears this white lady go, girl, 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 she just wants to punch somebody right in the throat.
Oh, yeah.
Let's continue.
Communicating threats and simple assault.
Eyewitness News reporter Tina Terry spoke to legal experts about the punishment she could face if she's found guilty. Tina?
Yeah, this video here has upset a lot of people nationwide. The woman in it is now facing criminal charges, and an attorney told me today that she could face a unique penalty.
This is Myers Park. This is South Park.
It's video that's captured the nation's attention. This woman
has been called South Park Sue.
I love it. It dropped back to the beginning of the story. All right, that's it. You get the idea. Anyway, at a certain point, she tells them how much money she's made, how much money she makes.
Yeah.
Not anymore. As she has been fired.
Hi, how are you? I'm hot. I'm beautiful. I'm 51. What are we going to talk about tonight? Being hot, being beautiful, being white, being my new wave. Do you live here?
Do you live here?
I do, actually.
That's how she greets them. By the way, she's wearing a leopard vest.
She's lucky she didn't get an ass whipped.
You can hear it in the voice. Like, do you live here? Like, you can just hear the way it's like, if you've ever heard a woman say something like that before, you know it's coming next. Like, you better be careful.
She found two church ladies. That's what she did.
Okay, so...
Because if there were some younger girls, she would have got her ass whooped.
At one point in this video, This is amazing. It says, do you live here? Why do I feel that we need to be here, like, hanging out? Let's call 911. I want to make sure there's nothing going on here. Later she said, I make $125,000 a year, and I want to make sure you're all up in here. Girl, 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 I'm white, I'm girl white, I'm white. She worked for Charter Communications. Worked, that's past tense, because they've issued a statement saying the incident recorded in Charlotte is a blatant violation of Charter's code of conduct and clearly disregards the company's commitment to inclusion and respectful behavior. Bless you. As such, Ms. Westwood's employment with the company has been terminated. Bless you. Effective immediately.
Charter's not the one that puts out all those bullshit editorials?
No. No.
Okay.
Charter is a cable company. You are thinking of Sinclair Media,
yes,
which is a television ownership group. So, another white lady story. They're getting fired, though, when they do stuff like this now, so.
Yeah.
She lives in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, that part of Charlotte is the hoity-toity, snooty part of Charlotte.
She lives in an apartment in Charlotte. No, she doesn't live in the hoity-toity, snooty part.
No, what I'm saying is, because I was talking to my buddy who lives in Charlotte now. He moved there back in February. He's like, that's one of the trendier upscale neighborhoods around, sort of like in South Park. It's named South Park. When South Park did the Soto Sopa. Mm. It's like the luxury high-end apartment. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Your friend just moved to Charlotte. I'm telling you. She lives in a fucking apartment in Charlotte. It's not the hoity-toity studio. Look, it might be, it might be considered uptown. But yeah, no. You live in a fucking apartment.
She does.
You make $125,000 a year. And you live in an apartment.
Luxury apartment, Kareem.
Go sit your punk ass down.
Luxury
Go
apartment.
Sit your...
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing is like... Yeah.
Yeah, you make $125,000 a year, and you live in an apartment in Charlotte.
You know what that means? It means you have a lot of debt and you can't afford a house.
Yeah. Or
or she's saving a bunch
of
money.
No one loves you.
Yeah.
And you don't want any extra room to remind you that you're going to have to spend your life alone.
It could be that, too.
That could be. I think that might be closer.
So we have some sort of breaking news. It sort of surfaced today that someone was investigating false claims against Robert Mueller. So these fun folks, including conservative lobbyists and gateway pundit conspiracy theorists, were doing some things. And earlier today, Robert Mueller referred a case to the FBI featuring two conspiracy theorists who allegedly attempt to smear the special counsel as a drunk and a sexual abuser by paying women to come forward with false allegations of sexual assault. Unfortunately for those politicos, well, they're idiots, and the scheme backfired after two of the women just contacted reporters instead. One woman emailed The Atlantic saying, "The man offered to pay off all my credit card debt plus bring me a check for $20,000 if I would do it. He knew exactly how much credit card debt I had, right down to the dollar, which sort of freaked me out. The man allegedly spoke with a British accent and claimed to represent Surefire Intelligence, a shell company that went straight to the voicemail of gateway pundit conspiracy theorists Jacob Wall's mother, now when reached by NBC. Photos of Surefire Intelligence employees feature celebrities like Christoph Waltz and British photographer Nick Hopper, according to an internet sleuth. Jacob tweeted today, spoke to a prominent DC insider who told me there are several women prepared to make credible allegations against dirty cop Robert Mueller. Allegations of the misconduct were promoted by conservative lobbyist Jack Berkman as well, saying on Thursday, November 1st, that the Rosslyn Holiday Inn at noon will reveal the first of special counsel Robert Mueller's sexual assault victims. We're going to prove that Mueller is a drunk and a sexual abuser. Here's the thing about Surefire Intelligence. So, if you look him up on LinkedIn, their Tel Aviv station chief is actually an Israeli supermodel. Yeah. Ahead of the fiasco, the Gateway Pundit ran a story citing international private intelligence as alleged Mueller participating in an aggressive rape on the 19th floor of the St. Regis on August 2nd, 2010. A reporter for Gizmodo pointed out that Mueller served on jury duty that day, while others were quick to note that the St. Regis has a gym on the 19th floor.
He had a jury duty that day? There's really no way he could have been there. But the place had a gym on the 19th floor.
No, no, no. Someone was like, no, there was no raping on the 19th floor. Oh. That's where the gym is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see. Yeah. Yeah, still.
A spokesperson for the special counsel said, when we learned last week of the allegations that women were offered money to make false claims about special counsel, we immediately referred the matter to the FBI for investigation. These are the conspiracy theorists.
Now, one of the things that happened with Brett Kavanaugh was he had a shitload of debt that, magically got paid off.
Right. We talked about that on the show.
Yeah. So I wonder who that could have been.
Who could it be?
George Soros. He pays everyone off, right? Am I getting the hang of this?
Mm-hmm.
All right,
mm-hmm.
Cool.
George Soros paid off Brett Kavanaugh to throw you off the trail,
right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Billy Eichner from Billy on the Street.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's mad.
That was Detroit. Are the midterms all glammed up?
Everyone needs to vote for Democrats.
I know. Well, I know you were upset about a certain news story today. The president is redefining gender potentially.
He's not redefining shit. You can't redefine it. It's a fact of life. He's a fucking piece of shit, asshole. Evil piece of shit. The whole administration is awful. Everyone needs to vote. You can vote now in many states. You can vote early.
Do you predict the blue wave is happening? Are people that mad, or are they apathetic and beat down?
A blue wave should happen. If enough people vote, there'll be a blue wave.
I gotta go.
Okay, thanks, Billy. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
This interview brought to you by CNN.
Was that really CNN? No.
No, it's TMZ.
Yeah, it's totally TMZ. That was not.
It's TMZ. Billy Eichner is pissed. Pissed. Donald Trump also is now saying that he's going to wipe out the 14th Amendment with an executive order.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan says he can't do that.
Yeah. No, because I can't.
Lindsey Graham says finally a president is tackling this issue.
Somebody has pictures of Lindsey Graham with little boys.
I don't know about that. Maybe.
I'm almost certain of it.
Awesome Russians.
Somebody has pictures of Lindsey Graham with little boys. Because that's the only way you could explain the change in him in the last 2 years.
You know, you heard the dog whistle. He's coming out. Like, this is who he always was a racist.
The thing is, Lindsey Graham is just rolling over for Trump.
That's
I mean, virtually all the Republicans are. Paul Ryan's not running again. So. Yeah.
Like, I expect it out of certain people. Lindsey Graham's not one of those people, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So, therefore, somebody, he didn't wrote, look. He didn't think about it for a day. He heard that shit this morning and was like, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't like, yeah, no. He said it. Trump said it. He's heard it on the news and Lindsey was like, yeah, we're going to do that. That's how fast that was.
Look out, women. They're coming for you next. We're going to start repealing amendments right and left. We're going to start with the 14th, then we're going to go to the 1st, and whatever one let women vote.
And
coming for all of them.
You know, the 14th Amendment was what said that I am an American citizen.
And here's the other thing. All the time Trump has been president, the one thing he's done with great efficiency is appoint judges. A ton of them. A fuck ton of judges. So, the idea that he can't just make a proclamation and have it make it through court challenges, don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Because this one will end up in the Supreme Court. I guess who he just put on the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that. Yeah. Meanwhile, in Arkansas, here is a real radio ad that's running. Kareem, I'm going to need you to pay close attention.
What do you think about what's happening in Washington?
Congressman French Hill and the Republicans know that it's dangerous to change the presumption of innocence to a presumption of guilt, especially for black men. If the Democrats can do that to a white justice of the Supreme Court with no evidence, no corroboration, and all of her witnesses, including her best friend, say it didn't happen, what will happen to our husbands, our fathers, or our sons when a white girl lies on them?
Girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again.
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape.
I'm voting to keep Congressman French Hill and the Republicans because we have to protect our men and boys. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape.
Paid for by Black Americans for the President's Agenda. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Okay. Kareem, I'll let you have first whack at this one.
Diamond and silk.
I don't know what that means.
Or mud and two fucking mud ducks. two black women that were Trump's two first supporters to have the YouTube channel.
Right.
So, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord.
Okay, now I will point out that French Hill has completely distanced himself from this radio ad, saying, I want nothing to do with this.
French Hill is a semi-intelligent Republican. Truth and context, this is a motherfucker, boy.
Right?
Yes. Especially considering... was it the guy from Ohio State that just got innocent for rape? two girls, and the two guys that are now suing the woman who claimed that they raped her, and they lost their scholarships because of her, and she was trying to get make a giant guy feel sorry for her. The guy from Ohio State, I think the two chicks was mad because he had sex with both of them on the same night. So you got that part of what just happened, and the idea that oh my god, that was just so horrible. The idea that you would play that up for the idea that you would let somebody play that up for you, it's not even the it's the context of what they said, but it's the fact that you would let somebody use you in that way. As a person, like I said about Kanye and Donald Trump. If you ever see me doing dancing like that for anybody, I want you both to punch me in the nuts.
Done.
Y'all can get a ball each.
Mm-hmm. Jason, you uppercut, I'll come down from above.
Yes. A ball each. Because you have no dignity whatsoever fucking ever. To do that. And again, it's funny because there is some truth in there.
Black Americans for the president's agenda.
No, those are white people for the president's agenda. Oh, and did you see today? I don't know if we're going to talk about it later.
Sorry.
Kanye.
Distancing himself.
Distancing himself.
Is he on the meds again?
Yeah.
Back on the meds?
That was actually what the headline was.
Yeah. So
that I saw. It's like, yeah. Kanye's on his meds again.
I did not have that one.
Yeah. So TMZ today said that he was abused by Trump and Candace Owens and he distanced himself.
Candace Owens is a special kind of evil.
Yes.
She really is.
She is. Yeah. Candace Owens is that black chick that sued ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
That said that because she was sleeping with Buttigieg, and then she tried to claim that he sexually harassed her because she got fired, like everybody else at ESPN did.
Right.
She's that kind of evil.
All right. So let's move on to some happier news. Detroit judge has tossed the Gardening While Black case brought by three white women throughout 2017 and early 2018. Three white women called police dozens of times, making increasingly serious allegations against Mark Peoples, a black man. He was building a community garden on the vacant Hunt Playground on Colton Street near the state fairgrounds. One of the women, Deborah Nash, lives across the street from the park, and the others live nearby. Peoples said the women didn't like his project, so they began calling the police, fabricating serious charges when police wouldn't come out for illegal gardening allegations. Those culminated with the allegations that Peoples was a pedophile, was in the park threatening Nash with a gun, and participated in a drive-by shooting. This feeds right into that radio ad. White women making stuff up. Now, eventually, the Detroit Police Department and Wayne County Prosecutor's Office filed and brought three counts of stalking against Mark Peoples. However, he and his attorney said most of the allegations were false and characterized Peoples' crime as, quote, gardening while black. 36th District Court Judge E. Lenice Bryant agreed. She tossed the case on Tuesday, calling it troubling and ridiculous, saying the three white women should be sitting at the defendant's table for stalking and harassment charges, not Mr. Peoples. This is disgusting and a waste of the court's time and resources, she added before granting the defense's motion for a directed verdict, which ended the case before it even went in front of a jury.
How much do I have to tell y'all?
Hey, we're highlighting every one of these fucking things that's happening, dude.
Oh my god! So I was listening to a podcast last week. They were talking about the broken windows theory of policing. And actually, if they had to just fix the fucking windows as opposed to doing all the other shit, then it would have actually had a bigger influence on the community than the actual policing that they did. Because if you had to fix the windows, then the people in the community would have felt like they had something to take care of. as opposed to having a community that was run down where who gives a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a man who's trying to do that specific thing in order to help uplift the community, and this is the dumb shit that you're doing because you don't. Yeah. They should be at the defendant's table. The prosecutor should be at the defendant table.
Yeah.
For bringing the fucking case.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever cop that helped her bring the case should be sitting at the defendant's table.
All right. Simon, we're running very late on the show, so we're gonna get through these last couple of things. These are stories about cow costumes. Cow costumes. Awesome. As today is Halloween. I thought it appropriate. This one, headline: Predators coach Peter Laviolette rewards his team by partially committing to a furry look. As a former player himself, the Predators head coach Peter Laviolette knows how tough it can be for a team to go on the road in Western Canada, and he used the opportunity to challenge his players. If you come away with 4 points on the 2-game road trip, that's 2 wins. The Preds succeeded by beating the Flames 5-3 and the Oilers 3-0. For his end of the bargain, Laviolette agreed to wear a bull mask in the post-game scrum. He went further, though. I'll play it for you. He wore the bull head while taking questions from reporters in the hallway. And the mouth moves a little bit. That's the most ridiculous goddamn thing ever.
I would play for that guy.
Oh, that is amazing.
I would run through a wall for this dude.
Right? Right? That is just fucking amazing. Also in cow costume news, this a little bit. I don't know that you'd run through a wall for this lady. Maybe you would. Arkansas woman wearing a cow costume arrested for shoplifting. That's right. She had a beef with a Pine Bluff police officer after being arrested on a shoplifting charge on October 16th. According to KATV, 27-year-old Ashley Curry was caught on surveillance camera trying to steal a package of Flonase from a Pine Bluff Walmart. An officer watched her as she decided to take off dressed in a cow costume with pink udders with the allergy spray. After Curry was detained and was being searched by officers, she allegedly stuck out her stomach area and told me I could, quote, suck a pink cow udder.
She didn't say udder, she said a titty.
No, that's udder. Officers did not take her up on her offer and she was charged. She was brought to the Jefferson County Jail. Sporting a different type of black and white outfit and was released on $1,500 bail. There you go. There's the outfit. I don't know why she was wearing it in the middle of October.
Flonase is expensive, man.
It sure is, but hey, it's no reason to say, suck my pink udder.
Perfect time.
Is it?
Perfect time to say, suck my pink udder.
Suck my pink udder.
I mean, that's when I...
Leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
I'm sorry, we have to get to this.
We gotta get to it.
We haven't checked in with Marilyn Haggerty in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And when I saw the headline, I had to. Marilyn Haggerty snowbirds in Sacramento State.
What?
Uh-oh.
Dear Joanne, you live in Sacramento and you went to Sacramento State. So I suppose you'll be rooting for your home team when the UND Hawks come out there for football Saturday. But you always come to Grand Forks for the Potato Bowl. And you could be my favorite niece if you hang out with the North Dakota crowd during the game there Saturday. You know I will be in my kitchen cutting up apples and listening to the game. If you see the UND Hawk in Sacramento at the game, tell it hello. We're sort of getting used to it. Even though people still wear shirts with the former name of Sue on them, and they cling to tradition. I'm still watching the skies to see if Marilyn the Falcon goes over on her way south. Birdwatcher Tim Driscoll reported earlier she had been seen in Winnipeg this year. There is so much going on here, Joanne. I can hardly keep up with it. and we've been dealing with an early snowfall. The cheery people around here looked on it as a winter wonderland. Most of us were grouchy about the early arrival of the white stuff.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
This week, people are getting their flu shots, and the kids will be out of school Thursday and Friday because of the annual teachers' conferences. Again, this is doubling up. It's both a letter and her column for the week.
Yeah.
So, whatever you got to do to get by. Marilyn.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Hey, by the way, it's the last day of Rocktober. I don't think we mentioned it enough.
It's Rocktober.
It's Rocktober, I'm going to go to wrap up the show here. I'm going to go to the Rocktober 2018 playlist on Spotify. All right, let me find. Oh yeah, here we go. Little Greta Van Fleet. To wrap this up. Hey, since you were here in September, the trees have become naked. The best thing I read lately was an article in the Herald on Sunday. Horticulturist Don Kinsler says leaving the leaves and mulching them back in the lawn makes for healthier turf. This is the time of year when some people are beginning to head south. They like the dry air and sunshine of Arizona. They like the beginning of the season in Florida. Dave McFarland says he and Kathy enjoy welcoming their winter friends back from their northern homes this time of year. And though the McFarlands used to live here, they now relish living in southwestern Florida. They have been there for more than 7 years, and they like it so much they sold their lake home in Bemidji. Wow. Sandy and Earl Mason are among those many people who have settled into homes in Arizona. There she continues her painting, and Earl has enjoyed hiking. Though I like to visit those places in the dead of winter, I kind of like it here in Grand Forks, Joanne. I like the excitement of Halloween. I like the buzz about hockey. I never miss a UND basketball game. I go walking in the malls. Yeah, you can't do that just anywhere.
Nope.
I sat near the South Dakota fans when the University of South Dakota, my alma mater, was here Sunday for volleyball. I tried to be gracious when our North Dakota team fell short. After all, when you live in Grand Forks, you cheer for the UND teams. Well, Joanne, I guess life is a game. Whether you're playing or sitting on the sidelines, it's more fun to win, but you take your lumps along the way. Love from your Aunt Marilyn, watching the world go by from Cottonwood Street in Grand Forks.
Aunt Marilyn, I really wish you would just write me an email. You don't need to write an article about me.
Right? And Joanne, if you're listening, how's it going?
Hey, Joanne,
I'm really curious. Was there an actual letter or an email that you got as well?
Yeah.
She has a 2 and a carbon copy in the email.
Yeah.
I mean, this happens often enough that it's not like, oh, the editor goes, oh, there's Marilyn, her column's due, but all she sent me was an email for her niece.
Yeah.
Guess we'll have to print it.
I wonder if that's what happened. I wonder if she accidentally means to send a letter to her niece, but she sent
her niece
like,
got a her niece got a great column yeah. about something.
It's just about a bunch of local stuff, including license plates. She's like, why is Grandma sending me license plates? I don't understand this.
Oh, I think she does.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show and for October of 2018.
Boom.
The next time you hear our voices, it will be November. We've got more fun stuff for you on Friday, a little less politics, and you'll get our hot take on the Cardi B, Nicki Minaj beef.
Oh, shit.
So be ready for that.
That's some great A.
We'll see you next time. Oh, yeah, shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Thank you.